Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there. Out there. Out there. Out
there. Hi, this is Dr. Cass Ingram, and you're listening to Out There with TJ Ryan.
I have somebody down the road that I'm going to be talking to, and they told me a story. Now, I don't know if they want me to tell this story. They probably won't. But they were in Chicago not that long back, and they were looking out on the street. Actually, they were out in the street, and they saw people walking down the street, and they were stumbling and tripping. And it's almost like there was something invisible that they were tripping over. And this woman who I was talking to, and I won't reveal her name right now. I don't know if she wants me to tell the story completely. She said she caught out of the glimpse of her eye a little man, like a leprechaun-type being, or a dwarf, or a gnome, or something. And it was pushing people. She actually saw it. And then when it caught her glance and noticed her, and it disappeared. And so as she, later on, started to walk down the street, it happened to her. Something pushed her as well. And so this week, I'm talking to Joy Melchizedek. She is from Middletown, Pennsylvania. Joy's been on the show before. She's got many abilities, channeling, works with soul support systems. She also has T-shirts for peace. She can talk to spirits. I don't think there's anything Joy can't do. And she's like my soul sister. How you doing, Joy?
Hello there, TJ.
I always have trouble with your last name, Melchizedek.
Melchizedek, yeah.
Melchizedek.
Yeah, you were close, though. And I thank you for that introduction, and we can all do everything, you know. I checked.
Right. I know. Some of us are still kind of working on that.
Well, I have to say, you're evolving quite nicely, though. You know?
I used to be a single cell the last time we talked. Now, I've split.
Huh? So who am I talking to today?
Sooner or later, I hope to crawl on land.
We will be delighted with your arrival.
I got to get rid of this tail. This tail is driving me crazy. This is the way we talk all the time when we're not doing a show. So it's kind of fun to let that out a little bit.
Yes, yes, it is. And I'm really excited to be here. And it is St. Patrick's Day. It's coming up. So coming up. I was hoping to share a bit of magic with everyone. I have a few stories myself, and I thought people might want to hear some of those things.
Well, there's so many other kingdoms you and I were talking about.
I know.
And I've heard of some of them, but you really have. There's other things that are out there that maybe people have heard about, and maybe this will ring true, and I guess that's why we're talking about this. So what would you like to share?
Well, since it is St. Patrick's Day, and I do have this Irish heritage kind of thing going on, excuse me, what I would like to do is recognize Bridget, who is a triple goddess. She's threefold, fire, maiden, mother, and crone, and she has her origins in Ireland. Now, I want to tell you a little story about her, which is really cool. Back in the days before they took apart all the sacred temples of the goddesses, when they came to Bridget's temple in Ireland and they went to destroy it, the people were in such an upheaval about this. To appease them, they made her a saint, and they kept her in the Catholic Church as Saint Brides or Saint Bridget. Well, I think it was in 1996, her temples were relit, so her fire is burning once again in Ireland. And there are some of us around the United States and the world that actually have candles from the fire in Ireland. Now, her energy is just amazing. Now, as you know, we work with T-shirts for peace. And I've had experiences with her in particular. There was this little girl I knew, this was like 15 years ago, a couple days ago, and definitely an indigo child, strong-willed, had her own sense of purpose, very much into the truth. But at one point, I was getting ready to move, and I had to relocate. She was only six. And I was trying to figure out what was going on with her, because I had sat down and talked to her and explained I was going to have to move and she was going to school and everything would be okay. But she stopped talking to me. So I went to her mom and I said to her mom, well, you know, is there anything happening here with Michelle? And she said, well, no, but, you know, she just said Miss Joy and I aren't friends anymore. And I thought, huh. And then I thought, oh, I'm leaving. So I called Bridget in to help me with her. Now, this little girl was bound and determined not to talk to me for a week.
Hmm.
The day that I called Bridget in, she comes down the steps in the morning. I was sitting in a recliner, and she comes over to me. She had just woken up. She curls up on my lap, and I prayed. I said, Bridget, please, please help me get through to her. So she curls on my lap, and she looks up at me, and all of a sudden it dawns on her, which she did, and she climbed off my lap and ran across to the couch, right? And I looked at her, and I said, oh, Michelle, I said, don't you know we will always and forever be friends? And she nodded her head no, and I said, oh, yes, yes. And that was it. That's all it took. After that, she was fine.
Hmm.
And so Bridget is so committed to working with children and nature and all these magical aspects of life she's very much into. She works with healing, Smithsonian, jewelry. But I wanted to mention the children for anyone out there who's dealing with issues with kids, that she's a great one to call on. And she shows up. And she does have her Irish heritage, so I just love her. Do you have a question about that?
No, I think that's a really cool thing.
Well, I want you to know I'm going to quiz you about all this later
Great.
On, so
Great.
Pay attention.
I'm trying to do that,
We're pleased. And then there, I have a story about a fairy. I had just gotten done watering a garden, and I was sitting down, and all of a sudden a spark of light appeared in front of me, and this fairy comes out, and she's laughing and giggling and telling me her name. And telling me about some work she wanted me to do. Now, the gnomes, the leprechauns, and the fairies are all interlinked, and that's kind of why I'm telling you about her, too.
Mm.
I find that this time of year, I don't just celebrate the leprechauns and the Irish, I celebrate all the magical elementals, because there isn't a day that's designated for them, per se.
How many other ones are there?
Well, there's many. Well, you got your gnomes. You got your fairies, your leprechauns. You have your tree people. You have your inner earth people. You have the stone people. So every, you know.
Didn't we say like the brownies? And what was that other one you said?
Yeah, the Tomtons.
What are those?
Those are house fairies. And they are, they're really funny. they just recently, they've hidden something from me that I can't find. Every once in a while, they'll do things like that, and it's one of the ways that you kind of know they're there. Usually, if you recognize them and ask them to bring it back, they will. So,
why do they do that? Why are they here to just kind of put us in a better state? Like that story I told about this woman who I saw. I mean, are they kind of playful?
Well, I think they're playful, but I think the other thing is, and this is really important, the magical beings, the elementals, they have no judgment on who they're on their on behaviors or anything. Everything is all accepted, unconditional love. So there's no good, bad, no right or wrong. So there's actually some are a little devilish, but they're just accepted for being that way. That's just what they do. That's what they say.
Hmm.
So. What this does, I think it really opens people up to the possibilities of what exists far beyond everyday life, if you look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when people lose things or are in trouble, I'll say to them, well, ask the angels for help. And people do this, and immediately the angels show up. So it opens them to that, you know. With the fairies, they sometimes create a situation that makes you call on them. So so you can reach out. It's their way of kind of indirectly connecting with you. Now, they've been hidden for a long time, and part of that had to do with the density on the planet and the fact that the magical aspects like, you know, the fairies, gnomes, leprechauns, the water sprites, all these beings were not recognized by man, and they were also linked. You know how the angels are well accepted,
mm-hmm.
and they're accepted by God? With these magical elements are connected to the goddess.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
So when the goddess temples were destroyed, all these beings, these magical beings, went into hiding because they knew it wasn't safe for them to be seen. Society wasn't ready for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're doing a great comeback. And a lot of times, some of them are showing up actually through the birth of children. You can see them in your kids. You can see the little pointy ears and the little pointy chins. It's like, oh, that one looks like a leprechaun or an elf.
Interesting.
You know?
You're saying when they're first born,
mm-hmm.
kids kind of look like that.
Yeah, and even sometimes when they're toddlers, I have nieces that as teenagers, they look, you can tell they're like they have fairy in them.
Wow,
yeah,
that's interesting.
So that's really cool. But there's also those that manifest themselves purely from the energy of light somewhere on the planet, like your friend who saw the leprechaun,
right.
who did the tripping thing. And,
and so these are actually leprechauns are for real. These do exist.
Oh, yeah. But you know who leprechauns are in that realm? They are teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They're wise, mm-hmm. powerful teachers.
Mm-hmm. So when they show up, that's what they're trying to do.
They're teaching.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. A lot of times they're given a reputation for being devilish and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And they may have that trait, but ultimately the wisdom they carry is amazing.
So go ahead. Where else?
There's a book, and I think I mentioned it before, A Summer with the Leprechaun, where this lady has an experience and she goes and she is taught by a leprechaun, and it looks like it was over in Ireland. So they, with some people, they will manifest themselves to them. I know this other woman who was in a grocery store, and she saw this leprechaun just standing there, and within, I think, a year or two, she went and she started a community garden for kids, you know? So there's all different magical aspects or ways that they'll try to connect with you.
And you're saying all these energies are more of the feminine energy, earth energy connection type?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, it's part of the balance, you know. The masculine has its deities and the feminine has hers. It's all interconnected, though, you know. It's like I do know some people that are focused on the male energies of God that do feel that there are leprechauns or fairies, so that's their way of connecting with the feminine, I think.
Mm.
But these are my perceptions. I'm not saying this is anything anyone absolutely has to buy into.
Okay, how much money you need? Hang on.
I want a lot of money. You hear that?
Let me buy
Send
into
the bucket.
Let me see what I got. $20.
That's it?
Still working.
But
I like it when you get to the point where you can't speak, Joy. I really like it.
I can tell that. He's been doing that to me all day today,
Everett.
Okay, so what's your next question?
I guess people that have had experiences, or if people want experiences with these, what can they do to bring it forward?
This is great. This is really fun. I'm going to give you an example of what I did, rather than tell you, go do this, this, and this, okay? I, with T-Shirts for Peace, we were trying to get 110 T-Shirts to Rwanda, where the genocides took place. So what I did, I thought, okay, we needed a lot of money because I had three T-shirt artists I had to pay, and we had to, you know, take care of postage and supplies. So I thought, oh, God, the organization didn't have any money.
Really?
So I went into the woods, and I spoke to the fairies, and this is what I did.
Oh,
I did it in a rhyme.
Oh.
because they respond to their the elements that they're the things they love are music, poetry, art. So I used what they loved, and I spoke to them in their language, and I did it like a rhyme. And then I left a bit of sweet for them, like a little cookie. Or they're known to love mead, which is a kind of honey. So since I don't have mead handy, sometimes I bring them honey, and I put it in the woods there, and I left. And when I went home, $60 was laying on my doorstep. I walked in the grocery store, and somebody comes running across the grocery store to me. I have money for you, Joy. So
did they owe you money, or what was the deal?
It was money they were collecting, you
really?
Know? And I was like, okay, this is good, you know?
Yep. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing. So if you go, you talk to them, you want to acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
But, and generally speaking, if I ask them for help, I tend to do it for other people.
Right.
Okay, now occasionally if something comes up drastic, like I have to go somewhere or do something spiritual or something, I'll go in and I'll have a chat with them and they help me out. When I work with the kids, I remember one year I was trying to get tickets to go to Vermont with these three kids, and we were taking the train, and it was a camp for indigo kids. And again, this time, though, I talked to Lakshmi, the goddess Lakshmi, and the fairies,
mm-hmm.
and anyone else who would listen. So, and they respond. They respond because they really want to connect. They want to have this interdimensional connection with us. But a lot of times, people don't seek them out or they don't honor them. And they withdraw their energy.
Mm.
Now, sometimes they'll come to you if they have a specific job they want you to do with them, okay? So they can read intention. They know intention very well. And they do have certain rules, like if they tell you their name, you don't share it with anyone because in their realm they feel... Once their name is known publicly, they lose their power. So the name is a sacred thing.
I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I need to spill it out accidentally. Hey, did you know I just met Bubba the fairy?
I know.
Having a couple beers, I loosen up, you know. Hey, Bubba the fairy wants to say, oops, too late.
I had one fairy tell me her name, and I thought I told it one day, and I thought, you know, but it's okay. You know, it's not like you get bad chi. I think it's intention. I think they consider that,
right.
You know.
So there are many of these. They're right there in front of us. We
Absolutely.
Just can't see them. We cannot see them.
Yes, we can. Oh, well, I can.
I mean, we can, but I'm just saying most people can't. They don't go anywhere. They don't disappear and go into another dimension.
Well, in a way, if you think about it, they do. They tend to kind of pop in and out.
Right.
But the higher the frequencies get here, the more they hang out here.
Oh, I see.
So.
There was a time they were all over the place, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
I almost get the feeling that they were here, they were well known, and then they were kind of chased away.
Well, they went into hiding because it wasn't safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they weren't supposed to be known because they knew the goddess. They knew the goddess, and I'm revered the goddess, you know? So any of the wisdom they had was to be hidden.
Some of these movies are really trying to tell us the truth, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that. What about unicorns? How do you feel about them?
Oh, they're real, too.
I felt that, too.
In my world, they are.
I felt that,
As a matter
too.
Of fact, the last class that I was teaching a class on connecting and communicating with your animals, and I woke up that morning, and I had this image of a unicorn beside my bed. So I figured they're real, you know?
There was a woman I talked to. I'm sorry, Joy. There was a woman I talked to. She was from Lower Michigan, and she was telling me that she was kind of traveling between dimensions. She had gotten to the point where she could do that.
Yeah.
And also kind of bringing – she lived in a land that – is a place called Good Heart, Michigan. Oh. What a cool name.
Yeah,
and And she said she had a place where she lived that there was like this opening, like you would find in, you know what I'm talking about, earth energy.
Yeah, I do.
And so she said one time she looked outside and she literally saw, she told me, she claims, that she saw a unicorn in her yard or out in the pasture.
Absolutely.
And it's like the two were blending, the two worlds were blending.
Absolutely. Well, it's like a vortex.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Thing. That was the big complicated word I couldn't come up with.
But that's what it is. It's like the vortex will allow entry to certain places. Mm-hmm. Now, you've heard of gridding and that kind of thing, right? Well, the grid can actually support what a vortex will allow through and, you know, how the energy of the vortex will work and all that kind of thing. So I really, really feel, you know, I feel like your yard is a vortex.
My yard?
Mm-hmm.
Where I live.
Yeah, you have a yard, don't you?
Yes, I do. Well, I never showed you that picture.
No, I never saw anything. I'm just tuning in. Excuse me. It goes with the job,
I have a picture that I took, and it's underneath two apple trees, and there's an opening between it, and I swear there's a guy and a woman standing there.
Yep. That's it right there. That's your vortex.
I do have a vortex.
Port. Yeah.
And then I have spirits in my house all the time or around my house.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So there's
See, you're not nuts. I don't care what anyone says.
And then the animals do crazy things for me. Like, they're not crazy things, but like, they all want to communicate. Not all of them, but from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they do things that you wouldn't expect animals to do. Now, sometimes maybe it's just a spirit passing through of a friend who's passed, or, you know, that's what I think it is sometimes. And then other times I think these animals are really trying to communicate with me.
Oh, they're trying to communicate with you.
Yeah.
You know,
I got a vortex.
I said to you, I'm going to interview you. So here we go. Let me interview you.
All right.
Tell us about your backyard, TJ.
It's not real big. I got about an acre and a half. The front side of my yard is, there's an old dirt road which used to be the highway. Another 30 yards, 40 yards from there is the railroad tracks. Mm. And another 50 yards from there is the highway, the regular highway. And I live in an intersection of a dead-end dirt road and the old US 2 highway.
Wow.
And so the acre and a half I have is all butted up against woods. And so my house is, you know, sitting where, you know, I go in my backyard, I can see apple trees, and I can feel totally away from everything else. But also, I'm really close to, you know, being able to get out. That's what I like. But I'd love to be really, really, really deep in the woods. But now that I got a vortex, I don't think I want to leave.
What you have in front of you when you're describing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually getting images of, you know, there are spirits near the railroad tracks and all kinds of things. That area is loaded with energy.
It feels like it. It's felt like that from the day I moved out there.
Yeah.
And there's been things that have really watched out for me and my wife. It's like one time my pump was about to go. I got two pumps in the basement. Something told me to go over and check it. Same with my garage door. Garage door was about to break or not work. Something told me to go over. You know, I know it's probably my inner self, but it's almost like something's watching out for us and cares about us.
Absolutely.
And then I had that eagle on the tracks back in 2008 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming home and I look across, you know, right on the railroad tracks. I had to go home and change. I was going to head back in the town. So on my left side, about 20 feet down the tracks, this eagle is staring right at my house. And I look at him and I thought, well, he's going to fly away. I roll down my window and I go, hey, buddy. Because I always try to talk to him. And he doesn't even turn his head. And my mom used to make a noise like that. Mm-hmm. And I did that noise, and he turned his head and looked right at me. Mm-hmm. Kind of like with that, what do you want? Kind of like a Clint Eastwood, what do you want, dirtbag? And so he's looking at me, and then he looks back at my house. And I think, well, he's hurt or something's wrong with him. So I go in, I change real quick, and I come back out. And two guys from the railroad, or maybe they weren't even actually there. It was kind of weird how they just showed up. They get out of this truck that's fit, you know, they have the special fitting to be on the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
One guy's carrying a bag, and I said, isn't this cool? Look at the eagle over there. Oh, yeah, we're here to help, but we think it's hurt. Now I'm thinking, now that I think about it later, where did they come from, and how did they know it was hurt? And was it sitting there all day?
Mm-hmm.
How did they just happen to know?
Mm-hmm.
And so these two, this eagle, they start walking close to it, and they get really pretty close. And the bird just flies off to a tree. It's not hurt. So that tells me there's nothing wrong with this bird.
Yep.
And he was looking at my house for a reason. Mm-hmm. And also he gave me that steely-eyed look.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was cool. I wasn't afraid of it, but I just thought, he's communicating with me.
Well, he was. So what was he saying to you?
Well, I felt at the time, I was going through some things personally, mm-hmm. and it really was for me to have that power of the eagle, mm-hmm. but also have some gentleness, mm-hmm. because eagles can rip through things. I read a book called Animals Speak.
Absolutely. Yep.
And it talked about how the talons could rip through. And I've always been very sarcastic, as you know. And so I thought I need to be a little more gentle with this situation that I'm involved in.
Okay.
And still have my eagle power.
Yes. Yes. So you have eagle power, huh?
I don't know. That's what I thought. Maybe
you
I got
do.
Like a little sparrow. I don't
you
know.
You do. You know how we all have 9 spirit animals.
No, I didn't know there was that many.
Yeah, there's 9. Some people are under the belief that there's 7, but there's really 9.
I know bear's one of them.
Yeah.
Because I've seen them in my dreams my whole life. Deer, obviously. I have tons of those around, right?
Yep.
So 9. That really is interesting.
Yeah, and it seems like you have eagle, too. I have eagle, too.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that you have the ability to connect and fly at one with great spirit. It's like your interdimensional link is really strong.
Hmm.
And it's true. It's true for you.
I'm glad I didn't have the platypus, because that was, I don't know what that was.
Who is that? Oh, I know. That's a new form of animal.
Platypus? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, getting back to the mystical, is there anything more we want to go down with the mystical part of it? What else? Are there signs that people can look for? Maybe things are happening they're not aware of?
Absolutely. I feel like the biggest signs are the ones where you find yourself linked or connected with music and art and dance. You know, the myths about the leprechaun villages and the fairy troops and all that, where you see them dancing and partying and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are actually a big part of what they're into, because they love to play. They love to have fun. So when you find yourself in places where that kind of thing is going on, look for the magical, because it's there. It's there. And they are becoming more and more visible.
Anywhere in the woods? Anywhere you go?
Well, I feel like you can... Oh, speaking of, I got to tell you this story. This is really cool. I was driving up a driveway. I wasn't driving. Somebody was driving me up a driveway, and it was out in the woods, right? And I'd never been there before. But and now, normally, when I see the fairies, I see them, and they giggle and everything. Well, this was one of those times we're driving through the woods, and all of a sudden I started hearing, oh, she's coming. She's coming. Mm. Why is she coming here? I don't know. What is she coming up this way for? And it was so funny. I felt like I was eavesdropping on a city of fairies.
Mm.
You know, it was the wildest thing. But, you know, it wasn't like they were upset. It was like they were just knowing what was going on. So you can find them in the woods. You can find them out in public anymore, like that leprechaun who was tripping people.
Mm-hmm, right.
Becoming more visible.
You don't need to go somewhere to find them, is what I'm
no.
asking. But if you go to the woods, can't you just find about anything? Aren't they really connected to nature?
Oh, they are. They are. Well, the nature beings include, you know, all the earthly nature beings. There, you'll find all of them there. But for those of us that don't live in the depth of the woods, you know, you can find them everywhere, though. I have a little fairy nook I made in my apartment, and I made it with the kids in mind, and I have all these little fairies and these pictures of all these children that I've worked with, or, like, I have a spirit grandson, and I have his photo there, and every time the kids come in, that's right where they go. They go to the fairy nook, and you can stand there and feel the entryway. So you can actually find a way, like do an altar, do something that invites them to come into your home.
Hmm.
Just
watch out for them to take shiny things, right?
Well, those are the Tomtons, And
oh, the fairies don't do that?
The fairies will do it, but usually in the house it's the Thompsons.
What about if you have, like, because this is what Reverend Debbie and I talked about before. Mm-hmm. If you got, like, big oak trees, does that draw those kind of beings in, a lot of the earth beings?
Yeah, that tends to draw in the leprechauns. And I have this thing, people always laughed, but I knew that it was true. Where there's trees and mushrooms and moss, that kind of thing, where it's dark, they hang out there. I like to think of the mushrooms as the leprechauns' apartment complexes.
Really?
Yes. Yes. So whenever you're mowing your lawn,
right?
Oh, you don't run over the mushrooms. No. No, because they're hanging out there.
See, I've always run over the mushrooms.
TJ, that's why I'm saying this. Don't run over the mushrooms.
Okay. Okay.
Okay?
Right.
You're hearing me now.
Right. Right. Well, I didn't know.
No, you didn't. That's part of the reason why I'm
usually there. They're right next to my garage. Well, I got two garages, but my big garage, I see mushrooms around there and kind of mossy. So they're hanging out around there.
Oh, yeah. That's the leprechauns. And if anything, one of the things I would do is probably in the spring is I would put out a wee bit of honey and put it around the mushroom and just say, here's a little treat for you. I actually have a little fairy door next to my front door that says, you know, Fairy's Entrance. And somebody reminded me recently, you know, about leaving a little sweet for them in here. So today I put out some honey for them, you know, and I put it right by the door. And they can come in and out as they choose, you know.
That's kind of... And they never really mess with you too much.
No, I'm grateful to have their assistance and to have the connection because, first of all, they're just wonderful. I just love them, and they are truly such a blessing and such a gift. They raise energy. They're into humor. It's just magic having them around, you know?
Getting back to what you said, that I have some kind of vortex, what kind of things do I draw to there? If this is an energy vortex, and also, is this also something that can really benefit me?
Well, it's already benefiting you because you have those, and I'm just going to start giving you this info. Mm-hmm. You have those that are tending to you and Sandy, okay? Mm-hmm. So you have your helpers, your guardian angels. I do feel that you have a strong connection with this land that you're living on, that, you know, you've had different lifetimes, and I think more than once you've been Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel that you stewarded this land and you took care of it.
Really?
Yeah. And you part of that is you have great karma with the earth. So the beings on the other side, too, are looking in on you and taking care of you. I do see this male and female energy. They're like gatekeepers by this vortex. And in the vortex, I really feel it's your choice to live as light that makes it possible for you to draw the positive interactions and the positive support you get from there. I do feel that that's an entryway that some souls, when they make transition, they go through there.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel there are some visits, particularly, I feel like your parents kind of check on you, you know?
Interesting.
And there's something with this railroad tracks, and these railroad tracks, that there may have been some accident or something like that up that area. And it just kind of feels like that there are souls from different events up in that area that kind of pop in and pop out of there.
Right.
So they use that vortex like a swinging door. All right?
Sure. That's fine.
The other thing is the galactic connection.
Uh-oh.
They're holding,
Here we go. Here we go. We got the galactic. We're talking about the aliens, the ETs?
Well, you know, I like to say galactic. I don't know, you know, ET people get weird. Excuse me. I don't mean to judge, and that's not my intention. They have a weird reaction is what I want to say. I like to say galactic because it kind of lets people know that, you know, there's higher forms of intelligences that are looking out for all of us.
Right.
And it's not about the scary stuff. It's about the love. And I tend to feel that right there, this vortex you have has a lot of love that comes through there.
I better not move from this place.
Well, I think it feels like as long as you're intended to be there, you'll have that. And then if you need to go someplace else, you'll take it with you.
Oh, I will. Good.
Yeah.
I really feel the need to live way out in the woods. Mm. Maybe not by myself, but I'm saying way out in the woods. And I just am so been thinking about that so much. It's like I'd love to be totally removed where it's just all you hear is nature, you know, because I hear the highway, I hear the train. That's not bad. I don't mind it. But anyway, that's enough of that. I don't want to talk about me anymore. Let's talk about...
Wait. But I just... Can I give you just one thing?
No, you're done. Have a good day.
Just one thing.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's because it's the balance. That's what you're craving. Because you deal with people a lot. And to recharge, you need the balance, the stillness.
Let me tell you about this one lady from Middletown, Pennsylvania.
She gets on your nerves, huh?
Not at all. She's just a true joy,
just
like her name inspires.
Aww.
Those of you listening, I really try to have people on that I feel are genuine. And Joy and I just laugh so much. And what I like about you, Joy, is that you don't take yourself too seriously. Because a lot of people I know that gain wisdom do that. Mm-hmm. And that's a turnoff. And you never try to preach, and you never try to tell people this is the way it is, and you keep an open mind to some of the crazy questions I come up with. And I just like the way you handle yourself. And you're down to earth, and it's not like you don't put on, you're not pretentious. It's not like I have to, well, TJ, as I look in the realm of the other world.
Well, I want you to know, I was going to try all the other stuff, but I figured it wouldn't be as effective.
Tell you that. Let me pull out my crystal ball and see what it says. Not that there's nothing wrong if people do that. I don't have a problem with that.
Now, did you ever use a crystal ball?
No, I never did.
No.
You?
I've used crystals.
Really?
I've used crystals with channeling in a very non-pretentious way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, I just would hold them in my hand, and I realized that we could do that. Like, when I heard the crystal talk to me, I thought, oh, my word, it's talking to me. Something's going on here, you know? And then what happened, I just used it with the channeling, and I think I was channeling Christ in those days.
We got to talk about that someday.
What, channeling Christ?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know... Hmm? Channeling is really, I mean, when you really think about channeling work, really what you're doing is raising your frequency, staying in a state of oneness with the beings, and just letting them chit-chat through you. You're a vessel.
Right. And some people don't remember it, do they?
Well, sometimes I remember some things. It depends. I've had some channels where it was like I was asleep somewhere, you know, and then other times I think I remember things because they were things I needed to know,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting when flow channels, I tend to retain memory of her channels from like 25 years ago, but that's because the energy is very congruent for me. You know, it's there's this wisdom that comes through her channels that it just really resonates, and it's like, oh, yeah, I feel submersed in it. So I, you know, like when it comes to remembering other channels at times, yeah, you retain it. But your own, you know.
I've heard people say that you kind of step aside and allow this to work through you, but you can remember if you ask, okay, I want to be able to be aware of what's going on.
Well, I'm aware of what's going on. Like, I'm a conscious channel. So it's not like I'm passed out.
You're like channel 52. That's where all the good shows are?
Yeah, that's it right there.
Hey, this is my favorite channel right here. This is the History Channel right here.
Oh, my God.
That's one of my favorite channels.
Yeah, I'm channel 52.
What do I join
I'm going to write that on my flyers from now on, channel 52.
What do I enjoy showing tonight? I can hardly wait. Oh, it's a rerun. It's a rerun.
Seriously, though.
Let's talk about T-shirts for Peace. How about that?
Okay.
Tell me about that.
All right, T-shirts for Peace. We are focused on the total care of children holistically, right, and world peace. So what we do is provide products and services for little kids, and we just added an extension for the older kids, and you can find that if you click on the Co-Creating Heaven on Earth button on our website. But we have things like, for the little ones, we have T-shirts that say things like Co-Creating Heaven on Earth, and they have wings on the back,
We are
all one, namaste, and we have angel, fairy, and dragon wings. And they're glittered. Everything is glittered. You know, you got to have glitter, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have little halo caps that are hand-knitted by a lady I actually did a heart thread for, who knitted herself out of a mental hospital and while she was doing these caps. How cool is that?
Really?
Yeah. So there's all these magical things that have happened with...
Now, you have... These are adult shirts and kids' shirts, too, right?
Well, the T-shirts are for both adults and kids.
Okay.
You can get...
Because that's what I probably want us to...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
yeah.
not a big guy, but I don't know if I'd fit into a four-year-old...
We can get you a little halo cap if you need one.
That would be nice.
A little yarmulke.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But, so anyway, so we have those, and to really appreciate how this happened, though... how this organization started. Flo and I were having lunch with a group of people from Soul Recognition, and we were talking about babies, and I just adore the kids. And she knew that, and she said, I want you to start a store for kids. And all of a sudden, this energy came over me, and then, believe it or not, I went and sat in silence for 3 weeks. And while I was sitting in silence, I started getting visions of this product line. And visits came from the Great Mother and the fairies and the gnomes and the leprechauns, and all these different magical beings started to come and tell me they wanted to help, and they told me what they wanted to help create. So I started writing all this down. This was before it happened. And I go home. And about 3 weeks after that, I'm doing a session on the phone with the artist of our T-shirts. And at the end of the call, she says to me, "I want something to do." And I heard this voice that day tell me, "Start, begin, take one thing and start." And I didn't have any money. And I thought, "Oh God, how am I going to do this?" You know, not I can't do this, but how am I going to do this? So what I wound up doing was I borrowed a little money. And the T-shirt, Jen took the design and started with the T-shirts. And then to reimburse the loan, I actually gave my food money to somebody that week and went to the food bank so I could eat to start this. Right.
Wow.
So well, that's how we began, you know, which I thought it was kind of different, you know. Just
so what is your grand vision in all this?
Well, the grand vision started out with we have T-shirts in every country around the world, which helps to link a global grid where the Indigo kids and the Crystal kids are. It's like there's an imprint that's given to every country that gets a T. So we do that, and we create products and services that nurture the total well-being of children and provide ways to bring peace and stop violence on the planet. So that's the larger vision. That's where we're at, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But everything had a step to it, and every step had this piece of magic connected to it.
Mm.
You know, like, I'll never forget, at one point I was thinking, oh, I can't do it. You know, just don't have the money. And it was always the money. And that day, I had gotten a thank you note from a little girl in Iraq that we had sent a T-shirt to her through an American soldier, and this little girl sent a thank you note with Iraqi money back.
No kidding.
And that was the day I knew the kids would let me know, and there would be a way, you know? So
that is really cool.
Yeah. And now, like, when I look at the bigger vision, what I personally would like to do now, I work with a team, so I try to stay open, and then we have soul support systems, but ultimately what I would love for T-shirts, for peace, is for it to be run by the kids, for them to have it, and they can do, you know, and create.
And their energy with it's going to be incredible, too. So.
And we're working with some of that, you know, like sometimes we do have kids come on board. And a big part of that is with the older kids. So we're just opening that door now.
You know, and now that you say that, it made me think about something. You know what, we're working together on creating a website. And me and some other folks, and working together and linking together.
Yeah.
And some of us are thinking about doing a podcast.
And
that would be you. But I just had a thought.
Yes.
We need kids to have one, too.
I think one of the things I would love to do, and we did start this link with T-shirts for Peace, the co-creating link. I started doing interviews with the kids, you know. So maybe one way to introduce it is we could actually interview some of the kids on the air.
And then maybe eventually they could do their own thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
absolutely
kind of what maybe the missing piece, another of the missing pieces.
Yes.
Well,
but this is very magical. Look at all this magic.
Well, every time I talk to you, I just gain such insight because you just have such. I know you say everybody's capable, and I know I'm starting to gain more of that. And you keep asking me, "Well, TJ, when are you going to start doing this? When are you going to give me a reading?" So I know, but it's like I always take away something, and I just like the fact that you can go in so many directions because a lot of people I meet, they get hooked on one thing and they just stay there. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And you go whatever path that makes you feel happy.
Yeah.
But I can talk to you just about anything.
Wait, you know, I want to share a little something. Years ago, about 7 years ago, I got sick. I got really sick. Okay? And I'll never forget this. I had a heart thread session. And in the heart thread session, John Henry said, "Now with your healing, it's important for you to remember that what you do to heal yourself, you need to be entertained because you have a very low threshold to boredom." And this was just my physical healing. And I realized that that's part of the reason why, I love the excitement of expanding and growing and doing new and different things. And I can't stand boredom.
Right.
Can't do it.
And don't you also feel driven? This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And maybe, you know, we work with this website and these other things that we do is because I'm really feeling driven. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's myself doing it. Maybe there's others behind me, but they're kind of saying, "Okay, now you need to take this step. Mm-hmm. Now you need to take this step." And I know it's part of what I probably plan.
Sure.
But also there's these beings or whatever's out there going, "Come on, TJ, step up to the plate."
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. The whole step up to the plate, I mean, that's like something I just tend to do. I don't even, you know what I mean? It's like, yes, this has to be done, you know? And the thing is, it's funny, like with the different things we do, it's kind of like if it comes to us, did you ever notice? We don't even stop and go, "Oh, yeah, somebody over there will do it." It's like, "Oh, I'll do that."
Right,
you know?
Right. That's the way I see it. You got to step up and do it because maybe if you wait for somebody else, not only that, when you say it, okay, you just made a commitment.
Yeah.
And you better follow your word. You better follow through on it. And that's the way I've tried to live my life as much as possible. I'm sure, you know, those of you listening, we do procrastinate. I've been working on a book for several years now, since probably 2007. You've been working on a book for a long time.
Yes.
One of these days,
this year, I'm going to be done today.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I keep saying. So there's things, you know, like anybody else, we run into bumps like anybody else.
Sure. But it's the idea of, I think when we take on stuff, that's part of our learning, to learn to delegate.
You know, and I also think I'm just...
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I understand. But I'm also saying, my book wasn't finished. I was given the idea, and more things have happened, and now I really feel I know where I want to go with it.
Excellent.
And the stories are there. Now I just got to actually do it, so, you know.
Well, you know.
I'll put that off for a few more years.
I'll just nudge it again. That's what I'll do, you know.
Well, Soul Sister, it's been fun talking to you.
You too. You too. Did we do anything today?
I think we did quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I look forward to, and we'll obviously be in contact a lot. So thank you very much, Joy.
Yeah, you know, it was a pleasure. It was a lot of fun, TJ. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.